The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. I'll give you a little warning that today's episode is probably more like a rant with a bit of a masterclass thrown in there as well. Now, this potty is one that I have been wanting to put out there for a while, but I guess I was somewhat scared of the judgment based on my religious upbringing. I've certainly got an element surrounding dating, relationships, or even sex. And being raised so incredibly religious, my entire belief system was that you meet somebody, you get married, and then you have sex with them, and they are your forever person. You literally get married, have sex with one person, and that is it for the rest of your life. However, this is certainly not my belief now, and it's taken me ages to actually realize and disconnect from this not being my belief. It's more of a belief that I was raised with. And I think that's an incredibly powerful thing to realize that with religion is that whilst you can be raised in a religious upbringing or a religion of whatever you are raised in, you are able to choose what beliefs work for you and don't work for you. Time is so precious. It is so, so precious. And it is our most precious commodity. I can't say the term precious enough in regards to time, because if we ever look back, the only thing we truly want back is time. And often we find ourselves falling into a relationship without consciously deciding if it's something that we actually even want. And perhaps that's from a level of expectation. And I know that for me, I certainly do feel that way, that with any social media presence, I feel that if I'm seen with someone, therefore I must be dating them. And if I'm dating them, I must get married to them and it must be serious. Or if I perhaps upload a story and I'm having coffee with them, that I'll be married next week with a baby on the way in fucking 2 months. And I have this joke that if I like someone's photo on Instagram, then it means that I'm definitely dating them. And there's been so many articles that were put out there of me following someone, meaning that I'm like interested in them. Or if they've commented on my story, then there's definitely fire behind it. And dating should not be like this. And I want to get very clear on what dating is in my opinion. Now, dating to me is a selection process of getting to know somebody on a deeper level to navigate if I would in fact like to spend a decent amount of time with them or not. When you add social media to the mix, it feels like there's so much pressure for every single relationship or person in your life to be forever. And if it isn't, that there must be some huge event or something wrong with them, when in actual fact, you should be pickier and you should have a process or a determining factor in regards to if they're right or not for you. And I kind of blame the term here, like Facebook official, because when did it become a crime to realize that you want to get to know someone deeper and actually realize that, hey, this relationship, friendship, career, whatever it might be, is not actually serving me and I don't want to spend any further time with this person without this being a massive deal. When it comes to social media, it's so hard to even get to know people before the whole world finds out. And in both parties, you feel somewhat obligated because everybody is gossiping or talking about you. And this isn't just with people that do have social media presences. I know that with my girlfriends and in the circles that I'm in, they will deliberately not comment on someone's photo that they're seeing because they don't want to seem too needy, or they don't want the other person to think they're getting cock blocked or whatever that looks like. There is so much added pressure in the world of social media when it comes to dating. So when did it become the only way to have something either forever or not at all? And why does it not just have to be a moment in time? Like, why does every single thing in our life have to be forever or be seen as a negative? And I know that in the first episode of Flourish and Fulfilled, I went pretty deep in regards to Nathan and myself, is that whilst our marriage lasted for 10 years, it was a positive experience. And I definitely do not see our relationship ending as a negative. And I am forever thankful that I was able to have a safe and secure relationship to be able to flourish into the woman that I am today. So who determines that it has to be forever? And if it was only a moment, but that moment was priceless, would you still want that moment? Or perhaps it was a month, but it gave you more lessons than what you could ever get in 3 years. Would that be worth it to you? Like, why is forever the only goal? And I see it happen a lot in the world that we either want it all or we don't want it at all. So it's either all in or all out. But why can't we just surrender to being present in the moment without knowing what the future or having the certainty of knowing what's going to happen and just enjoy that moment right now? There's no need to rush or try and manipulate it to be anything for the future other than the very second of enjoying those moments. It's interesting because I managed to keep an 8-month relationship out of the public eye. And I honestly believe that that was the only way that we were able to connect so deeply, was because no one online knew about it. And we were able to stay out of the public eye. And the people that were closest to us knew that my whole family knew we were dating, Nathan knew we were dating. And in the same breath, it felt so out of alignment of not going out in public or not holding hands or cropping him out of photos. And it was a horrible feeling from both sides. So you have the entirely other extreme of that, is that I then, after that, dated somebody who on my first date was made very public within hours before I had even kissed him, or tell those closest to me that deserved to know directly from me that they'd seen Daily Mail articles in regards to the fact that I was out on a date. And yes, I did feel in a very stuck situation of obligation. And would I have ended it sooner than the 6 weeks that it did last? Well, 100%. But I felt like I had so much media pressure on me in regards to what the expectations were. And there were so many horrible articles that were written in regards to me being a man eater and so much other stuff out there that is so far from the truth. And when it comes to having a relationship out of the public eye or kept in a private matter, that's not necessarily a positive either. And that's why I'm doing today's episode. I want to be able to change the fact that relationships don't have to be forever. Relationships and dating should be a process of not elimination, because that sounds a bit harsh, but I think it should definitely be a process of making sure that they are 100% right for you and not feeling any obligation to stay in something that doesn't actually work for you longer than you feel the need. So this is the other thing with being online or having an online presence and having social media, is that if you've been seen together on a first date, it can make it look like you've been dating for 6 months when you literally have met that exact same day, because there's no context behind a photo or following someone or liking someone. There's no context to that. I know that I've probably gone a little bit left of field here on this one, but I actually wanted to mention that the entire process or presence of online social media, as I'm often bagged out about this on so many different Facebook groups, is that I always beg for my privacy, but then I share things online. And the reason that I do this is because this is only something that I now do. And as I've mentioned before, I can guarantee you that if you're listening to this, you wouldn't have had any idea that I was in an 8-month relationship, because there was nothing in regards to that online. And the reason that I changed it was because it was so hard and horrible to have to hide from people and being in public with people having phones out or people sending me an article in regards to me being out on a date. And it's not something that I want for anybody, let alone myself. And I want to normalize normal shit. And getting to know people as two consenting adults and then deciding that perhaps you want to go your separate ways is not actually a negative thing. And that you should set boundaries and that you should have high expectations. And I'm definitely here to shout this from the roof, that this is what I want you guys to actually do. I want you to go in and walk on into a date and be like, do I even like him? And is he enough for me? Rather than wondering if he likes me or am I enough. That's not how it should go. Be more ruthless with your time. Who gives a fuck if people think that you're a man eater, because you know the truth. Now, I have to add this one in here, because this article is about me being a man eater, and I've literally dated 3 guys in the last 2 years since my marriage has ended. So I'm definitely not a man eater, and I have friends out there that are dating 3 dudes in 1 weekend. And here I am showing up without judgment, loving the fact that they love themselves enough to be like, yeah, you know what? I went on 3 dates and none of them were right for me. And thank you. Next. You don't need to conform to any belief surrounding what you will or won't tolerate in your life, religious or not. I really want to get this straight, that unless I say that I'm marrying someone or I post a photo with a rock on my finger or a pregnancy announcement, I'm simply exploring and enjoying my time with different people, will not apologize for living the life that I am, and neither should you. And I think that this is where we discussed this in a couple of episodes ago in regards to the term slut shaming and where slut shaming comes in. And it kills me, because how else are you supposed to get to know somebody? And I'm not saying go and sleep around. However, do whatever you want to do as long as you're not hurting anybody. And how do you even know what you want if you haven't spent time with different people? How do you know that you value connection if the people that you've met have all been surface level, like superficial connections, and you've never even actually had a deep conversation with them? Or how do you even know that someone's funny if you've only ever been with bland and boring as fuck people? You wouldn't even know that. So date and spend time with people as consenting adults who are not hurting anyone. I'm so sick of the shame surrounding getting to know people and letting go of that. And I know that with a lot of my girlfriends, they are embarrassed to post if they went out for dinner or had drinks with somebody. They would never post a story that they were out with that person because they're seen as a slut. And that's what is happening behind closed doors. It's just that there's this shame and stigma surrounding it. So the exact same way that you would with friends or jobs that don't align, don't stay stuck. If something feels like it isn't enough, it probably doesn't align for you. So with this, once a relationship breaks down or you decide that it isn't working for you, how do you actually step back and reflect on the good and the bad and create your ideal partner list of what you're even wanting in a relationship or the things and qualities that you're craving? Whilst every relationship is a blessing, it's either there to teach us something as to what we want or what we don't want. And when I talk about relationships, I mean everything from our friendships to our co-workers to our sexual partners, family. However, time is our absolute best friend. And when we reflect back on a relationship, that is the biggest blessing that we can actually see. And once the emotion and the hurt and the ego has all healed, we can actually remove some of that barrier and learn so much about the interaction itself. And not everyone and everything in your life is supposed to be there forever. And once we get rid of those social constructs that everyone is a permanent part of our life, it allows us to be able to set boundaries for ourselves of what respect we actually need in our life and what we're willing to tolerate, as well as ultimately set up our dream life that we all dream about. So that's a little bit of my rant over. I might continue soon, but I thought I would move into more of the masterclass in regards to actually determining what this looks like in creating your ideal partner from a reflection standpoint of relationships that you've previously had. So in this phase of our masterclass or exercise here, what I'm going to get you to do is write down a list of your previous romantic partners. And then we're going to explore the things that you like and that you didn't like about them. But it's really important here that you don't include short-lived like flings or any relationships that didn't carry a big emotional charge for you. So it can certainly include like non-romantic relationships or friends or family workers if there was a lot of emotional charge or connection in that relationship, because you will still see the same patterns that you will in a romantic relationship also. Now, if you are somebody that has perhaps had a lot of relationships, I want you to limit this exercise just to the top 3 people who you've had the most emotional connection or exchange with for this exercise. Remember that learning why we've acted in certain ways will allow us to heal what's actually causing any negative patterns and allow us to be clear on what we actually want and stop attracting in one-sided friendships or relationships, or perhaps it's the wrong kind of lover who doesn't meet our needs. So it's all very exciting and should be thought about upon as a very positive exercise. So essentially, we're going to create a relationship inventory, like a little black book of the good and the bad things about the people that we've dated, in order to determine what we actually want. Whilst digging into your past relationships, it may feel like a dreadful thing to do, and your past relationships can definitely give you some insight and very valuable reflections in regards to your needs, wants, and desires. And this process is designed to help you to be able to uncover or decode what your unconscious attraction is of your ghost partner. And these are the qualities that you tend to attract on repeat, despite what you actually consciously desire from a partner. So our unconscious attractions and our conscious desires may be two completely separate things. Now, what I'm going to get you to do is get a piece of A4 paper or a note section in your phone. It's going to probably be a little bit harder to do. So an A4 piece of paper with three columns on it. And before we start, I want you to embody the emotions that you felt within these moments within each question of each individual relationship. So remember, we're going to work on three relationships here. And I'd like you to only have one word responses for these sentences. And instead of working across each three relationships as we go, I'd like you to focus and embody on one relationship at a time, as I feel like it'll allow you to be able to flow a little bit better with the words and emotions that you were trying to attract to that. Now, when it comes to emotional labeling, I prefer you to use the Abraham Hicks emotional scale, because they are true emotional responses instead of it being a response that is perhaps a belief or a subconscious belief. It is a true emotional response. All right, so A4 piece of paper, three columns, three people that you have previously been with that you had a high emotional attraction to. Individually, each relationship with each of these questions. What attracted you to this person? What was your first thought when you met them? What was the energy like between you? What is your favorite thing that you liked to do with them? When you left them, how did you feel? What was your favorite physical quality about them? What are their best traits? What are their worst traits? What was the best thing about them? What was the worst thing about them? What are some frustrations about this relationship? What was your biggest fear within this relationship? Now, I did read out those quite fast. So if you need to, we'll put these into the show notes, because that's something that you'll need to repeat over and over with these three different relationships that you've chosen to analyze. Now, reflect back across those three different relationships and see if there's any common positive traits that you are unconsciously attracted to in people. And then I also want you to make a note of any negative traits. Now, for me, when I was doing this, my top three positive traits that I had reflected upon was connection, security or safety, adventure, freedom or excitement. Now, the reason that I've bunched those together is because they felt like the same emotional response, which is where I go into the Abraham Hicks scale of having that emotional response and making sure it's not a belief. So a belief could be something like, I don't know, but make sure it's an emotional response. Common negatives that I personally had was that I would attract in avoidant or emotionally unavailable people. I would attract in physically violent. I would attract in somebody that lacks trust or untrustworthy. And the reason that I stopped myself before saying about was that a belief or a emotion is that when it comes to lacking trust, you always have to ask yourself, is it real? Is it true? And how do I know is it true? So if you were just feeling like perhaps you lack trust in the relationship, it might actually be an internal reflection rather than it actually being an external reflection of perhaps you're feeling not enough in the relationship, or you have your own self-worth issues. Whatever that may actually look like, you need to know, is it true? Is it 100%? So a is it true statement is, I lack trust because I'm seeing my partner message girls on Instagram and you know that's happening. Or perhaps you know for a fact your partner has slept with somebody recently and didn't tell you. There's so many reasons as to how that could look and actually be true rather than it be something that's made in your head or an emotional internal response. So with these positive and negative traits, we're going to design your ideal relationship for your next connection. So what does that actually look like and how does that feel for you? So these are the next set of questions that you will ask yourself based on these positives and negatives traits that you are unconsciously uncovering. My next connection will have or be. My next connection won't have or be. What did you learn about yourself during this task? I am attracted to the kind of person who, the way that I like to feel in a relationship is, I don't like it when people dot, dot, dot. Now, I want you to actually create an exact list of traits, physical attributes, qualities, personality and career of what your partner or dream or ghost partner, whatever you want to call this person, looks like. The question that I often get asked in regards to this is, if I am in a relationship, should I still do this? 100%, because what we're actually doing is we're still manifesting and evolving as relationships grow. And we can always be able to do more within a relationship of self-growth as well. So usually what we attract in a partner is what we're actually looking for within ourselves. So when we're able to see what we actually want in a partner, it's actually what we need in ourselves. So very open and honest here. Here is my own ideal partner traits. Highlighted as underlined is safe. Safety to me is my number one in a trait that I look for. I want somebody who is conscious or present. I want somebody who is honest, forthcoming, and trustworthy. And the reason behind forthcoming added in there is that you can definitely be honest if someone asks you a question, or you can be forthcoming with your wrongs or perhaps something that you've done. And that's an entirely different trait, in my opinion. I want somebody who's fun and adventurous. I want somebody who is confident and strong-willed. I want somebody who has my back. I want somebody who is mature and has integrity in their word. Personality-wise, I've done this with my own language, I guess, here is that I want somebody who can take the piss out of themselves and me. That's really important to me, is that they're not stuck up or can't have a laugh. I want somebody that can also be deep and have a deep chat. I want somebody who researches why they do things. They don't just go with the flow or just do what they're told to do. They don't just conform. I want somebody who, when I leave them, I feel happy. So looks wise, I want somebody who isn't too feminine, doesn't ask me what they have to wear, has an average sized penis, aka like I don't want big dick. I don't want big dick energy. Some girls love that. That's not for me. I want someone who's tall, who's athletic, and somebody who doesn't feel the need to not be confident in who they are. So regardless of what they actually look like, that they are just confident in being 100% them. That's my biggest thing with looks. Now, I know that with a lot of people, a lot of girls go for a certain type. I don't go for a type. I go for how someone makes me feel. And if somebody is confident in how they look, that will always win over being super typically, stereotypically good looking for me. Career-wise, I want somebody who is successful, and the determination of that of success to me is somebody who doesn't need me to support them. Even if I chose to, they would be able to have their own back. I want somebody who doesn't want followers or want to use me for career advantage or leverage, which I've definitely had in the past, which is why it's in there for me. And I want somebody who is open-minded and wouldn't stay in a career that they don't enjoy. So that's kind of my career summarization of what I want in a partner. From those traits and breakdowns, I want you to do statements. And this is so powerful because these are essentially affirmations of what you 100% are looking for. So I am looking for somebody who I know loves me. I am looking for somebody with a secure attachment style. I am looking for somebody who is humble but confident. I am looking for somebody who is an adventurous person that'll always be a lot of fun. I am looking for someone who will always communicate with me, no matter what time or if they're too tired. So go on throughout all of those traits that you've just done with the I am looking for statements, because that'll allow you to actually affirm it. Now, you should be able to navigate fairly quickly the big yes and the big no's that you're looking for in a partner. However, remember that in the early stages of dating that you actually romanticize, even if there's very clear no's, you're unable to see them because you're in that early phase of dating. And this is why these tasks are so important to actually reflect on so often. It's also interesting here that I will point out that all of my coaches, including my relationship coach, has actually said to me on numerous occasions to date more than one person at once so that you can actually see and be able to determine whether they are fitting your ideal partner list. Now, for somebody like myself that was raised super religiously, it doesn't feel right for me and something that I really struggle with because I am 100% in or out, and that's something that I definitely work on here. So whenever we get into a relationship, we've got a few stages. So stage one is the idolization of the relationship and that higher dreaming, the intense thought patterns of the other person. And we have like dopamine and oxytocin and the mystery of getting to know them. And that is the dating phase. That's the amazing feeling. And when we are only dating that one person, we can only see their higher dream for exactly who they are. So this is why, and I'm not saying to do this, but this is the advice that I am definitely given, is to date multiple people. Doesn't mean you have to have sex with them. Doesn't mean you have to do whatever with them. Do whatever you feel comfortable with as consenting adults. However, it's easier to be able to compare if you can see different traits in different people. And this is why I'm saying that when you grow up in a religious upbringing of dating someone, getting married and sleeping with them for the rest of your life, I can't guarantee you. But in my experience, knowing exactly what you want and being able to experience different people is a much better thing at being able to 100% know what you want. Stage two, grounding. You begin to navigate, you have those little conflict or the ickiness of the relationship that perhaps you're like, oh, I don't agree upon that. Well, that's weird. Like, he's not perfect. She's not perfect. You may make a commitment to each other to actually be dating exclusively. You can see how each other's coping mechanisms are, and you can become aware of each other's patterns, whether they're either negative patterns or not. Stage three is actually seeing the flaws and traumas behind the individual that you're dating. They may shut down, they may react, or they perhaps might rebel to the relationship even. And then in stage four, you've got acceptance and making a conscious choice to be able to evolve and have that freedom to explore exactly who you are, not manipulate the situation for anything more than it is, or love them exactly for who they are rather than wanting them to be anything but. And then stage five is that trust and foundation for the relationship of them being 100% who they are, as well as being able to be who they are within the partnership and the vulnerability and stability. It's seen as a growth factor rather than a lack of passion. So stability, predictability, vulnerability, that security is not seen as something that is boring or tedious or that 7-year itch feeling, but it's seen as growth and being able to grow together. Now, if you say, let's actually use mine as a prime example. So I value, my top three values and core fundamental values within a relationship are connection, safety and security, and adventure. And for me, if someone perhaps prefers to like watch the TV over talk to me or would prefer to numb themselves by scrolling on social media instead of be present, it's a huge no for me because I'm just like, if I'm right in front of you and I want to connect with you, then I want to be all in. Or if perhaps somebody makes me feel scared or insecure within the relationship, then that's a definite no for me as well. And that may look different from so many different things. Perhaps I'm physically scared of them or the situation right through to feeling like my boundaries are perhaps crossed or not listened to, and therefore I'm scared that if I speak my truth, they won't be upheard. Or in regards to the adventure factor of that core value, I want somebody who likes to try new things or do new activities or have fun instead of always have like a serious, deep connectional relationship. For me, it's very much about adventure and fun as well. So these three key things in a relationship are huge for me. And if any of these things are not there or are missing, then I would definitely struggle to progress past that initial idolization stage, which is usually that 6 to 12 week mark, which is where we can actually see someone for exactly who they are. So I want to leave this as my little take home message of this episode. Time is so fucking important. It is so precious. Who you choose to spend it with is absolutely integral. And if you ever feel out of alignment or that you're not valued, I can promise you there are plenty more fish in the sea, like so to speak. Do not stay anywhere that you do not wish to be. Make an ideal partner list and know that if you're feeling second best or you're feeling like you're settling or close enough is enough, that it is 100% not. Dating in the public eye is fucking hard. Dating alone is hard. So don't make it harder by adding your own personal projections and judgments onto me or anyone else for that matter. It should 100% not be up for anyone else's opinion, because you can never actually be in a relationship regardless of whether you think you've known what the relationship involved or didn't know. You will never truly be there unless you are one of the two people in that relationship at that given time. Dating, in my opinion, should be a selection process, and I encourage women and I hope that you all encourage your friends and allow them to feel supported and encouraged for leaving a situation that's not serving them instead of perhaps slut shaming them or calling them a man eater. All right, I think my rant's done. This week, we're moving on to my bookworm, and I'm reading The Happiest Man That Lived by Eddie Jacku. It is an oldie but a goodie, and I just love it, and I hope that you all love it as well. If you want to get involved, you can ask any questions, leave some feedback. Perhaps you might even want to review this week's episode. I might like that after a sneaky little rant. Or you can continue the conversation on our Facebook group or Instagram, which is just Flourish and Fulfilled. Until next week, guys, I hope that you keep slaying, culling, and setting those boundaries. Bye, guys.